Welcome to the Hallwell Manor. I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And it's the cleaners. Sorry, this is season 6, episode 3 of Charmed. It's the cleaners.
Forget me not.
Oh God.
Like, it's not Forget Me Not, which would be a perfectly fine title, but it's like Forget Me Ellipsis. Not, like,
joke, a not joke in the year of our Lord, not the 90s.
I know. Honestly, this episode just made me want to watch the Red Dwarf episode, Thanks for the Memory, or the Star Trek Next Generation episode that rips off, Clues. There's a real possibility, dear listener, that I will make Max watch both of those episodes in the near future, because I'm craving them now. They're so much better than this one.
I don't know. Memory stuff is always, like, honestly, I didn't even like it when Buffy did it that one time.
Well, so Thanks for the Memory and Clues are both structured not like this, but more like The Hangover, where they have to go through and recreate what happened.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a lazy storytelling device, but, like, whenever you have a thing where it's a character only remembers what makes the plot go forward, and then they only unlock more memories at a point where you need them to unlock more memories, I don't know, it feels like kind of a forced plot device thing.
Okay, see, I feel like what you're talking about is a little different. Because what you're talking about feels like kind of the hide the ball thing that a lot of mystery writers do. Like, I love mystery books. And one of the reasons I love them is because when they're successful, they're great. But there is a high level of difficulty there because you have to hide the things that people know from the audience without it feeling like you're just hiding the ball. But this is like you wake up and you don't know what happened and you have to figure out what, I don't know. It feels different to me. It feels a little bit different.
I'm going to reference, there's a Simpsons episode where Homer can't remember what happened the night before, and he's trying to fill in the blanks, and he keeps getting convenient flashes of memory at certain points to make the plot go, and it feels like all of those kind of stories all kind of operate off that.
Okay. Like, I see what you're saying.
Anyway, this episode isn't about that at all. It's about dudes that rewrite reality to protect the knowledge of the existence of magic from getting out there, which, I'm sorry, where were you dudes in, like, the season 3 finale?
Yeah!
Like, where were you dudes in,
where were you when Phoebe was being burned as a witch?
Yeah, morality bites. Were you just not feeling like doing your job? It is way too late in the show to introduce this.
So, actually, I was thinking about how weirdly ubiquitous this trope is. The cleaner, the person who comes and, like, puts reality to right so that the normal people don't know what happened. Mm. The best example, of course, being the auditors from Discworld. Mm. But yeah.
So we open in media res.
Wait, do we?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So this is interesting, okay? We don't actually open in the middle of things. We open at the moment where things are most exciting, which is what you do in media res, but then they travel back in time.
Yes, okay, it's a time loop.
No, but you're right. I mean, it is. For all intents and purposes, it's in media res, but, like, is it? Because they're going to do some time travel shenanigans. Anyway, yeah, you're right. We open.
The sisters are back into the manor. They're trying to protect Wyatt from these dudes in white. Piper tries blowing them up, but it doesn't work. I guess because no one said Piper blow them up.
Okay, that's funny, but it's actually because they're cleaners, right? So they're, like, not affected by the rules of our reality.
Yes, they're beyond good and evil. They are a neutral, mind-wiping force. And they blurp away with... They blurp Wyatt into their arms, and Leo orbs down, and Piper's like, Leo, aren't you, like, a god now? Can't you stop them? And Leo's like, no, they're beyond even my power. And Piper's like, well, Jesus fucking Christ,
what's
Leo.
What's the fucking point, then? It's kind of the, there's always a bigger fish, right? I'm getting ahead of myself here, But the whole thing with the cleaners is that Wyatt is a baby who's just indiscriminately doing magic because he's a toddler with a cannon, mm-hmm. much like Talon was in our Farscape podcast.
Yes.
And so they don't know how to keep it safe, so they're just going to take him away and erase him from existence instead of, I don't know, telling Piper she has to bind his powers.
Jesus Christ, why does that not come up here? Because Piper's like, please, I'll do anything. Like, I will stop him from using his powers. And they're not like, okay, then do the thing that stops him from using his powers.
No, instead they're like, how could you possibly do that? Nope, it's too risky. So they take Wyatt away, and then they...
they rewrite reality so that Wyatt was never born. The little baby...
the cave. Closet! Yeah, the closet that Wyatt lives in!
Yes, the closet that Wyatt lives in becomes a closet again. All of the baby pictures become pictures of grass, or, you know...
yeah, his crib disappears... and then I actually kind of like this. We see that the sisters have all forgotten what's going on too. And Piper turns to Leona's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't remember. She's like, well, then get the fuck out of my house because we're separated because you became an elder.
And everyone kind of just brushes this off, which you are witches. You are witches. You should be suspicious of, huh, I don't really remember what we've been doing for the past few hours.
Yeah, well.
Also, someone's mysteriously in our house who's not supposed to be here.
Okay, well, I have it in my notes later, but I guess I'm just going to say it now.
Yeah.
The cleaners are terrible at their job. Like,
I guess that explains the morality bites thing.
They did no cleaning at all. Okay, I'm just going to say it up front here, that the cleaners are terrible at cleaning, and then we'll hit on all of the reasons that they're terrible as they come up.
So after the opening shots of San Francisco, we get a news report, which is normally the sort of thing you expect to see in a time loop story, like in the end of season one.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't really, you know.
It's just supposed to be cutesy because it's a weatherman, and he says it's going to be nice and sunny so we can forget all about yesterday.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
Also, weirdly, this is plot relevant, but Paige is asking Piper if she has any... stain remover, any cleaner, because she spilled coffee on her shirt yesterday at her temp job and apparently was walking around all day with coffee on her shirt without knowing why.
I feel like that's not an unusual thing. Like,
I know, right?
But, okay, let's get into it.
The merry-go-round?
Yeah. Paige makes an offhand reference to her life being a...
like riding a horse on a merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm. And Piper corrects her. It's a carousel.
Yeah, she says that carousels are horses and merry-go-rounds are other animals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is supposed to be a clue, right? Because Paige is like, how do you know about merry-go-rounds and carousels?
That's just the sort of thing you learn by being a person in the world. Also, it's wrong.
Yeah, it's just a random trivia fact. Okay, so I like went on a deep dive trying to find out what the difference is between carousels and merry-go-rounds. And you know what?
What?
The words are synonyms. There is no difference. But there is a huge amount of people, like, just... stating that it means a specific thing, but it doesn't, right? So there are some people who are like, oh, carousels go clockwise and merry-go-rounds go counterclockwise. Or carousels are the ones where the horses go up and down and merry-go-rounds are the ones where they're stationary.
Also, sometimes the, like, whirly thing at the park is a merry-go-round.
Well, that is the proper name for that. That is a merry-go-round. So some people are like, oh, well, that's a merry-go-round and it's only a carousel if it's, like...
horses.
No, if it moves under its own power.
Yeah.
I was going to say mechanical, but that's what mechanics means. They're all mechanical. Yeah. So I know you are all shocked to hear this, but Charmed is putting out false information there.
If I was going to make up the bullshit difference between carousel and merry-go-round, I think I would have it's only a carousel if you can grab the brass ring.
Otherwise, it's just sparkling horses. A much more obvious clue that there's something wrong is the fact that Piper hears a baby crying, by the way.
I know that it wouldn't be a tenable thing to do on this show, but maybe if she was, like, lactating or something, that would be...
yeah, that would be. That's definitely... they would definitely not get into that on this show.
No. Until the episode where Piper's breastfeeding in public, and Phoebe has to ride a horse naked through the streets of San Francisco because a restaurant doesn't want her to breastfeed in public.
Oh my god. Yeah. He's not making that up. That's a thing that happens.
I'm very ready to talk about Magic School and the Lady Godiva episode.
Alright, so Phoebe, because of her empathy power, which makes everything so hard and also all about her.
God.
Is observing werewolf protocols. She has put herself in the basement away from anyone else, and she is not letting Piper or Paige come near her because she doesn't want to feel their emotions.
Yeah, this is also what Prue did when she got the empathy power way back in season. Earlier than this season. But yeah, she has a yellow emotion line that you can't cross or she'll feel your emotions.
She says they can come up, they can bring her food, because that's what Piper's made a little tray for her. They can bring her food if they're not feeling emotions. But when they come close to her, she senses that Piper is feeling like this great loss that Piper doesn't remember.
And Phoebe points out that Piper has, like, cut up her eggs, and she's cut her grapes in half so she doesn't choke on them, which is something you do need to do for very small children. I'm sorry, I see... Sometimes when I'm, like, out at the park with our kid, I'll see, like, babies who are eating full grapes. And I'm like, no, that is such a huge choking hazard. You're supposed to cut them in half.
Yeah, you have to cut grapes in half. That's true.
But I don't say it. It's true, but I don't go up to random people and say it.
Okay.
Keep that in your back pocket for later.
So... Phoebe gets a phone call from Elise, who's like, you caused a riot in the newsroom yesterday. You need to come in or you're going to be fired. And she's like, but I wasn't even in yesterday. This is what I'm saying. The cleaners are terrible at their job. They erased Phoebe's memory of what happened during the riot, but no one else's. So Phoebe's going to face the repercussions of it and know that an entire day has been erased from her. That's just going to raise questions. That's just going to expose you. The cleaners are terrible at their job.
Yeah, and, like...
Just undo the riot having happened!
Also, the riot wasn't related to Wyatt at all. Why would you remove that memory?
I said the cleaners were sloppy. This is sloppy writing. Anything that happened around the dragon was also erased from their minds. So...
Oh, by the way, there's a dragon in this episode.
Yeah, Wyatt's gonna create a dragon. So, Paige... forgot her work day because she saw the dragon out the window, and then she ran to the newsroom while the riot was happening and was like, Phoebe, there's a dragon. So Phoebe forgot everything too because the cleaners removed all the dragon shit.
Okay.
You know how in Frozen, when the rock trolls remove all of the memories from Anna of the magic, but then we see that, like, she remembers building a snowman with her sister as opposed to her sister magically creating a snowman?
Yes.
Yeah, the rock trolls are way better at this than the cleaners is what I'm saying. They don't just, like, erase wide swaths of your life and give you Swiss cheese memory like you're Sam Beckett or something. That's a Quantum Leap reference.
Or John Crichton. Yes. Although that was after brain surgery.
Yeah. The specific thing with Sam is because of time travel, like, he has Swiss cheese memory, he has giant holes in his memory.
Ah. So.
Time travel memory is another thing I'm going to need to talk about, so I'm going to put a pin in that. I didn't even mean to bring us there, but I do have to talk about time travel memory later, with Chris, obviously.
So, Paige goes to her new temp job, where one of her coworkers has been fired, and... because she was going to confront the boss about sexually harassing her, but Paige didn't show up to help her, so she got fired. I don't see how Paige being there would have altered this situation.
I mean, I don't know that it necessarily would have. I think she's just upset that Paige said she would show up and support her, and she didn't. And now she, like, has completely forgotten that she said she would show up and support her. I don't know why she didn't stop at Paige's desk on the way into the office and go, okay, Paige, you know that thing we talked about? Let's go do it.
Yeah.
Because Paige is, her temp job is working as a receptionist right now.
Also, Paige has been here for like a week. Why are you just...
She volunteered to do it.
I guess. It feels... Wouldn't you want a coworker you've known for more than a week to be the one in your corner? And someone who wasn't a temp worker to be in your corner when you're confronting your boss for sexually harassing you?
I'm going to guess that whatever this job is, we don't know because we only see Paige and Paige is working as a receptionist. I'm going to guess that it's kind of a male-dominated industry and it's entirely possible this woman is the only woman in the office. I have worked in offices before where they like refer to me as the girl. Ugh.
Also, Paige is wearing...
I don't even know.
Is she getting married to her new job?
Oh, see, that's the opposite of what I was thinking. It's like, it looks like a beach dress to me.
I guess just the fact that it's a white dress.
Remember how yesterday you spilled coffee on yourself and had no memory of it? Maybe don't wear a white sailor-looking beach dress to work. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. It doesn't look unattractive, it's just not work appropriate.
Meanwhile, Leo is coming to confront Chris. Chris has just gotten a new charge and he's whiffing it already.
And by whiffing it, you mean he's having sex with his new charge.
In the back room of the Bronze, which is where Chris... In the back room of P3, which is where he lives, apparently.
Yes.
And Leo, unintentional foreshadowing, is basically being his dad.
Yes, yes.
Leo's like, young man, I didn't assign you this charge just so you could have sex with her, which... Huh, Leo? Huh. What a weird thing for a white lighter to do, huh, Leo? Leo points out, he's like, Chris, why are you here?
This is what I was talking about with time travel memory. Chris is like, I have no idea why I'm here.
Okay, we personally know that that he came back to stop evil Wyatt, but the original reason he gave them for him coming back in time was stopping the Titans, which he did. So Leo unintentionally has a really good point here, which is, I guess he doesn't really have an option because theoretically by stopping the Titans, he destroyed his timeline from ever existing. So it's not like he can really go back.
Well, I mean, the reason he's still there is because the Elders decided it would be too dangerous for him to return to his time. So
that's why he's here, Leo.
Yeah, but what this implies is, because we know, because we've seen the rest of the show, that Chris's reason to come here was to stop Wyatt. Leo will say later that the reason he's there is to protect Wyatt, but he's there to stop Wyatt from becoming an evil witch overlord. Anyway, spoilers, by the way, get ready for that. Get ready for evil Wyatt. But remember how we talked about, you suggested that Chris's timeline is rewriting itself so that his memory is changing the reason why he came.
Yeah.
And I really like that explanation, except that the cleaners should have given him a different reason.
Again, the cleaners are genuinely bad at their jobs. But I feel like this is sort of a brief glimpse at how culture has shifted over the past decade and a half or so.
Uh-huh.
Because Leo comes in when Chris's post-coitus with his new charge. I feel like a modern show would have Chris shirtless to show off how ripped he is.
Oh.
This show has him wearing a shirt, but also in boxers as a, like, he's post-coitus, and it's kind of an embarrassing thing. Like, oh, he's in his underwear, but not in a sexy way.
I mean, they did get Julian McMahon shirtless as much as they could, but you're right. This is before there was, like, a lot of beefcake.
Yeah.
The CW didn't exist yet. This was still the WB.
Yeah, this is before Riverdale had Archie take his shirt off every chance he got. Or the Supernatural. I was going to say twins, but I don't...
They're not twins. They're just brothers.
But yeah, Leo orbs out and Chris's new charge is like, hey, do you want to have more sexual intercourse with me? And Chris is like, that furrows my brow.
All right. So, over at the newspaper, Phoebe goes into the office and... Okay. We criticize their outfits a lot.
Yes.
But I love the top that Phoebe is wearing in this scene so much that I'm going to make it. I'm going to go out and buy the materials and make this top for myself. I want it. Also, we forgot to mention when she was in the basement that she has a cut on her head that she doesn't remember how she got.
Ugh. Witches.
And it's not just that she has a cut that she doesn't remember, because I get bruises all the time because I'm kind of clumsy that I forget having, right? Because it wasn't worth it to remember that I banged my knee on the coffee table.
Yeah.
Because it happens so often. But she has a cut that she put a Band-Aid on. I feel like at that point you have to remember putting the Band-Aid on it. But she got off well, because people in the office, like, one of them is in a neck brace and they're on, like, crutches. Like, the office is messed up and they're all giving her, like, really evil looks. Except for one guy who's like, hey, Phoebe, you did what I've always wanted to do. And you know what? Keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care what anyone says. What you did yesterday was awesome. Okay. I understand why Elise is mad. Everyone else doesn't know that Phoebe's an empath, and thus the riot that was started yesterday is her fault. Like, I'm just going to say it now. She punched Elise in the face under the influence of someone else's emotions, specifically that guy's.
Yeah.
And then a riot broke out with everyone just starting to wail on the people they had issues with, which I don't think that's how empathy works.
I mean, right? The implication is that her empathy was, like, spreading to everyone else, but that, you're right, that's not how it works. It's just someone saw someone punch their boss, and the floodgates were open.
And Elise is like, Phoebe, I've tolerated a lot of stuff from you, but I have to ask, why did you punch me in the face and start a riot in the workplace?
How much money is she bringing to the newspaper that she is not fired and possibly arrested at this point?
Seriously, and Phoebe has a premonition of the riot, and she's like, I have to go now. And Elise is like, so no explanation, and Phoebe's like, bye.
Out on the street, Piper sees a guy with a baby, and I know that you want to say something about what Piper's going to do, but can I just say something about how annoyed I am by the shorthand that the show is giving us, that this parent doesn't know how to parent because it's the dad? Like, that is offensive to me. Like, if this was a mom with a baby and Piper came up and was, like, giving her advice to show us that Piper remembers being a mom, it'd be like, Piper, mind your business. But because it's a dad who doesn't know what he's doing, it's okay.
Okay, as a dad who was the primary parent to our child, you know, I hate this so much. I didn't get it a ton because our child was born at the beginning of the pandemic. So we missed out on a lot of, like, mommy and me stuff. But I got it enough for it to be very, very annoying when a stranger approaches you and assumes that you don't know how your own baby works. For example, my dad got us a very nice baby carrier thing. Sort of backpack situation. I put our daughter in it. And I went for a walk in the park, but it didn't really fit her right.
She didn't like it. It's just some babies don't like some carriers.
Yeah. So I took it off, and I was taking her out of it. I was literally in the process of taking her out of it when this woman comes up to me, and she's like, she doesn't look very comfortable in that. I'm literally taking her out of it. A, what business is it of yours? B, I clearly know what the situation is and am actively resolving it. Like, come on. Assume people know how their own kids work. Like, ugh. Sorry to go off on my own little rant here. It's pet peeve.
This father, however, is completely overwhelmed stereotypically and needs Piper to tell him to rock his baby when it's fussy.
And he's like, wow, you must be a great mom. And she's like, I don't have a baby. And he's like, well, I guess I assumed, given the way you came up to me and started giving me unasked for parenting advice.
She's like, no, I just always really wanted a kid. Ha. Huh. I wrote in my notes, weirdest conversation ever. It's like so stilted and awkward.
I would be running if I was this guy. No, I always just wanted a baby.
I mean, he kind of does. Yeah. He was also carrying groceries. He's carrying the baby and the groceries, and he dropped the diapers, and Piper picked them up, and he's like, my diapers? And then he takes them, and then he hightails it out of there.
So Piper comes home, and Leo's just kind of standing in their old bedroom,
staring at the closet like, something used to be here.
Yeah, and Piper's like, well, I asked you to get out of the house so I could learn to live without you now that you're an elder, and it's going to be much harder if you keep coming back. But also, why didn't we have a baby? And Leo's like, I mean, theoretically, we were having trouble getting pregnant, so if they were going to rewrite reality, you know, so that we don't have a baby, they could have just had that be the reason why. But yeah, no, I don't know why we didn't have a baby.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, obviously it's because she still has the memory of Wyatt, because the cleaners are terrible at their job. Yeah. But that's not a... You were trying to have a baby. It's not a normal thing to be like, why didn't we actually have one? You were trying.
Yeah.
You didn't.
And, like, Leo has a whole thing where he's like, it's weird, right? Like, I have this memory, like, something's missing. Isn't that weird? And I'm like, you are both magical people. Why are you not trusting your instincts here?
They never do. That's such a, like, it's such a consistent thing on this show about them not trusting their instincts.
Leo does point out, he's like, what if a demon is messing with us, like, memory-wise? And Piper's just like, you're not our white lighter anymore, which, I mean, I guess he's not, but that doesn't make him wrong. I mean, I guess it's not a demon, but...
No. He wants to stay. It's because he wants to stay and help. And she's like, you're not our white lighter anymore.
Oh.
And
okay, so he can just... Why did you break up then if he can just stay and help whenever he feels like it? We don't see Leo any less in this show.
I know. He's still front credited. He says, Chris is going to be too busy to help you because I gave him another charge. And she's like, okay, well, then we'll just do it ourselves.
Also, Leo, you had multiple charges while you were their white lighter. This is not a new thing. Although you shouldn't have, but, you know.
So, upstairs in the attic, Phoebe, Paige, and Piper are kind of realizing that something is wrong because Phoebe and Paige have giant holes in their memories, and Piper knows something is wrong, but not what it is. And, of course, Phoebe had her past monition of starting the fight.
Yeah. And Piper's like, huh, it is kind of suspicious that we all have giant gaps in our memories.
So Paige suggests doing a spell to help them all remember. And they're like, okay, remember last week when you did a memory spell and you erased all of Piper's memories?
That was last week.
She's like, no, I got it this time.
Also, not brought up, but possibly a good idea, getting a carbon monoxide detector.
Yep.
We get a really weird transition where, like, the screen kind
it's
of...
It's spinny, yeah. It's like a little spiral graph, yeah.
This is technically a time travel spell, right?
Well, she said bring back our memories, and the spell just brought them back in time to where their memories were, to the moment where their memories were erased. I mean, I guess the spell was like, you know what, just let me handle it. I got it, Paige. I know what you're trying to do. Just let me do it.
Well, it brought them back to what set in motion the thing that erased their memories.
Right. So it's yesterday morning, right? And
they all remember Wyatt. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, so something happened that made us forget Wyatt. So now they have to do that one Kurt Vonnegut novel.
Slaughterhouse-Five?
Now, the one where, like, everyone has a vision of,
Oh, okay. So Time Quake. So what happens in Time Quake is everybody goes back in time, right? And there's a time quake. So everybody returns, I think it's like 10 years. 10 years in the past. But in Time Quake, they're like trapped. It's like everyone has locked-in syndrome and is going through exactly what they did 10 years ago. And it's like torturous because all the mistakes you made over the last 10 years, you just have to be trapped inside your body watching yourself make them. And then when people come out of the time quake, like when the 10 years pass, there's all these car accidents and stuff because people forgot to be in charge of their own bodies.
Jesus.
But they theoretically can make changes here, but because this day ends with
Wyatt getting erased
in the same scene that we saw earlier, I think that it's not what they do is not far off from what they did before.
Yeah.
Especially because the very thing that sets it off is them wanting to talk about what's going on. Like, Wyatt is fussing, and they're trying to talk. So to calm him down, Piper tries to give him a toy, and Phoebe, who has empathy now, is like, he hates that toy. He wants to watch the TV.
Yeah. And Piper's like, no, I don't want to be a bad mom and turn on the TV for my child.
Ugh, she's worried about screen time.
You know what? We all have screens all the time. It's just life now. That's life.
Okay. She turns on, like, presumably, like, an educational TV show. But can I just take a moment to express how weird this TV show is?
I mean, it really seems like the sort of thing that plays to activate assassin brainwashing.
Okay, so the whole thing is just a red screen. Nothing on the screen. It's just pure red. And then it says, red. R-E-D. Red. And then it's just a pure blue screen. Blue. B-L-U-E. Blue. And I'm just like, what is this? This is like, Piper, you just said you don't want to turn something mindless on for your baby. That is what you have done. And he is so bored that he uses mental powers to change the channel.
I want to clarify, we are not iPad parents. Like, we don't just slap our kid down in front of the iPad, you know?
Okay, but I also feel like screens are way too demonized.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's fine. As long as your kid is doing other stuff, you know, it's okay for them to spend a couple hours goofing off on whatever.
Honestly, I feel like iPads are better than television because you're not passively receiving information, you're interacting with it.
Yeah.
Like if you're playing games and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so Wyatt uses his, like, mental energy to change the channel and turn on, like, a
pro wrestling?
Yes.
Well, he flips through a bunch of channels.
Right, but the one he lands on is a, who's that guy?
Sean Connery.
No, the guy who did the Titans.
Oh, Harryhausen.
Yes, thank you. It looks like a Harryhausen movie to me, and there are, like, dragons flying in the sky. Here's the thing. It could have just been dragons on the kids' show that she showed him.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been, I don't know, Dragon Tales. Or, you know, a knight fighting a dragon. It could have been Shrek. This was the time period for Shrek.
But, yeah, he sees a dragon, and that's going to give him the idea.
So, Paige is like, look, we just have to live through our lives as normal until we remember what happened, but now we'll be prepared to stop it.
And Piper's like, okay, but if we just live our days as normal, we're going to end up in the same place, which they do, so.
Yeah. Good point, Piper. But yeah, Paige is like, well, do you have another plan? And Piper's like, no, so.
Yep, Paige just has to go to work and wait for someone to spill coffee on her because that's the thing she forgot. And also the... And Phoebe just has to go to work and wait for her to start a riot because that's the thing that she forgot. The difference between the two of them and what they forgot is kind of funny to me.
Okay, why doesn't Phoebe just not start the riot? I mean, like...
Well, I have a huge problem with the fact that her empathy power is, like, has...
Contagious.
Oh, well, that's an issue. But no, that it's, like, erased her ability to emotionally regulate herself. Like, when she feels anger, like, the guy obviously wanted to punch Elise, but he's an adult, so he emotionally regulated himself. But she has no emotional regulation if it's other people's emotions. She's just gonna punch people?
I mean, I guess.
I don't like it. I don't like that part of empathy.
That Phoebe's become a literal toddler.
Yes! Yes! Okay, so speaking of toddlers, Wyatt sees the dragon on TV and he teleports it to the real world because he wants to.
Yeah, he manifests the dragon. The dragon opens the window and knocks over a pot and then leaves. And the sisters come in and they see the pot knocked over and they're like, huh, that's weird. You know, Wyatt has magical powers, right? Like,
yeah, but they probably just assumed that he opened the door and that's what caused the vase to fall.
Yeah.
They're like,
well, I mean, that's why I wouldn't think it was weird. I would think that Wyatt wanted fresh air or something.
Right. But they know they're looking at everything as a clue, right? As to why he had to be erased. So they're like, okay, well, that's a clue. Let's all keep our eyes open for something weird.
So Leo is setting Chris up with his new charge because this is earlier. And he's like, I'm taking you off the sister's case because I don't trust you. So I'm going to give you dominion over some lady I don't care what happens to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Chris is to end this establishment. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, it's just... Well, I mean, she is blonde, so she's clearly disposable here in the world of Charmed. Oh, and of course, as you were about to say, Chris is like, no, I don't want to help anyone. And then she's a hot blonde lady, and he's like...
Awooga.
Okay, I guess I'll help this woman.
Also, he does establish here that he did go back in time to protect Wyatt. And Leo's like, from a demon who you don't remember the name of. And Chris is like, yeah, like, the demon that killed the Charmed One's baby wasn't, or the demon that got the Charmed One's baby wasn't famous enough to have a name in the history. I don't know. But yes, Chris's official mission is to protect Wyatt.
Meanwhile, the newspaper, Elise is arguing with that guy, Frank, who said he wanted to punch Elise earlier. And Phoebe feels his emotions so strongly that she punches Elise. And
then everyone just starts beating the shit out of each other.
Okay, okay. So the delivery guy, like, jumps up and fights Phoebe when this starts. I'm like, I think that there's like a whole subplot where that delivery guy is in love with Elise.
Okay, I want to see that story now.
Right? Because like that's what started it.
So back at Paige's workplace, her female coworker is like, hey, I'm going to confront the boss for sexually harassing me. Do you want to come in there and be my backup? And Paige is like, I sure do.
The kind of sexual harassment that he's doing, by the way, is the kind that happens in the sexual harassment videos where he's like, if you don't date me, I will fire you. Like, it's usually more subtle than that.
Yes.
So, out the window, the dragon flies by and one of Paige's coworkers sees the dragon and is distracted and trips and spills coffee on her because, you know, a dragon just flew by the window.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry. The cleaners erased every single person who saw this dragon's memory of the dragon, but couldn't undo the riot to keep their little game going.
So Wyatt is crying at home, and Piper's trying to figure it out. Yeah, way to go, Supermom. She pulls out the teddy bear that Phoebe empathically told her Wyatt hates, and then she's like, oh, wait, no, you hate this.
Yeah, yeah. She picks up Wyatt, and the reason he was crying is because he wanted to see the dragon. So as soon as she picks him up, he orbs the two of them over to where the dragon is. I think it's interesting that he didn't want to orb until he was with his mom. He could have orbed to the dragon himself.
Yeah, well, sometimes kids just want to be carried.
That is true. That's accurate. Okay, complaint retracted.
So Paige goes to tell Phoebe about the dragon. And she walks in on everyone in the office just beating the shit out of each other more, including Phoebe.
Yeah.
A guy gets thrown through a window. An indoor window.
You know. Like a glass door.
I don't think empathy is to blame at this point.
This is a toxic work environment. Anyway, Paige is like, I don't know what's going on here, but there's a dragon, so we have to go.
Wyatt orbs to Piper to a tunnel, and she's like, why are we here? We see a car driving into the tunnel, and then we see the car driving out of the tunnel on fire.
Yep. Paige and Phoebe orb to where Piper is, because Paige has called her on the phone and been like, hey, we have to talk about a dragon. There's a dragon. And then they see the car on fire, and they're like, oh, found it!
So Wyatt definitely killed people then with this. Like, this is a people died thing that Wyatt did.
Quite possibly. Quite probably.
Like, that car was pretty on fire.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. they do, the news says that no one was hurt. Like, they do that thing where they're like, no one was hurt, but many cars were destroyed from a giant bird.
Which shot fire out of its mouth like a dragon.
I mean, I feel like humans are really good at figuring out, or at covering up weird things, or accepting weird things and just making them normal. I feel like somebody would have been like, oh, this is like an ancient dinosaur that came awake because of climate change. Yeah. Like, I feel like people would have said that pretty quickly, and the cleaners didn't have to do shit. But if I pick apart this episode too much, then it has no reason to exist. Piper's blaming herself because none of this would have happened if she had just had more screen time discipline.
Yeah, she's like, it's my fault for dropping Wyatt in front of the electronic babysitter. No, it's your fault for not binding his goddamn powers.
Or maybe turning on the terrible, terrible kids show. I know Bluey didn't exist yet. Maybe if you had just turned on Bluey, you'd just have a bunch of talking dogs to deal with.
Yeah, that would be delightful.
Yeah. You just have a bunch of Australians running around.
Yeah. But Phoebe's like, Wyatt created a dragon with magic. Like, you must be proud. That is some high-level magic. And Piper's like, I'm more irritated than proud.
Well, that's par for the course for Piper.
Yes. So Paige is the one who's like, okay, so clearly someone erased anything that had to do with the dragon, including Wyatt and our memories. And Phoebe's like, eh. So what? Wyatt made a little mess. We all make little magic messes all the time.
Which is a good point. Phoebe's like, we can deal with this. We deal with it all the time. But then the cleaners show up and they're like, nope, you exposed magic. Yeah. We're the ones who cover it up.
How you have not been fired by this point?
Well, there's no one to fire them. They're just... that's the real problem. There's nobody who can fire them, so... Anyway,
we're back where we started.
It fools us into thinking we're back where we started, because Piper throws a firebolt at him and he catches it, but we're actually going to get that again after all of this happens. We're fooled into thinking that this is the solution, but it's going to be like a predestination paradox. It's just going to take us back to where we started. And the cleaners give them a chance. They're like, if you can clean this up, then we won't take Wyatt away. So that's what they have to do. They have to go and take care of the dragon.
Only because they've been so good about this in the past.
I mean, I guess in a way they have. I mean, we did just talk about how they make magical messes all the time, and yet, you know.
They also clarify that every time you felt deja vu, it's because they rewrote reality to get rid of a magic thing, which I think is sort of a standard thing for, you know, mystical settings that want to keep magic hidden.
I mean, Piper argues that they can't just erase Wyatt out of their minds. And they're like, we can. We do it all the time. But obviously they can't.
Yeah.
Because they already failed once. This is their advantage right now, as Phoebe points out once they leave. They don't know that the sisters are repeating the date. That the sisters already know what happened.
Yeah.
Piper has decided that things are bad enough that she is going to call on Leo. She calls for him and he doesn't show up because I guess he's being pissy because she told him to go away before. So she's like, it's Wyatt. And then, of course, he comes immediately.
Yeah. And he's like, what happened? And she's like, tell me how to kill the cleaners. And he's like, you can't? They're after him. And Piper's like, yeah, well, he made one little dragon and they freaked out. Leo's like, he made a dragon? And Piper's like, I'm a single mom. Which, I mean, that's kind of on you. You can't be mad at Leo for not being more active in...
Okay, I'm shockingly going to be on Piper's side here.
Okay.
Because she's like, you're up in, you know, Elderland, able to watch over everything. Why weren't you watching over Wyatt and nipping this in the bud as soon as he made the dragon? Which is a good point.
He was too busy yelling at Chris.
Oh my god.
Who's also his kid. Not that anyone knows it yet.
I guess that's true. Anyway, Leo's like, I can't stop the cleaners. And Piper's like, we don't care about rules, remember? That's our whole thing. And he's like, no, I physically can't. They're way more powerful because both good and evil have given them power, so because they're neutral. So they're more powerful than either good or evil. Y'all, that was a terrible idea.
God, This is kind of a dry run for the whole Avatars thing. I know they already introduced the Avatars, but the whole all-powerful neutrality thing is a well-charmed goes back to more than it should given how bad they are at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Leo's like, hey, Piper, you're a good mom, so just be a good mom and they won't take our baby away.
Well, he tells her that she has to fix this problem not with witch stuff, but with mom stuff.
Okay. I think maybe a little witch stuff would probably be...
Just a tiny bit of witch stuff. The Book of Shadows doesn't have anything about dragons, because dragons are older than the Book of Shadows. Or it could be because dragons aren't real and why it just created them.
Yeah, that would be the... Although there were the dragon warlocks. But, yeah, now wouldn't the thing be like, it's not a real dragon, it's something Wyatt made up, like...
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would have gone with. Anyway, they need a scale or something physical of him so they can make a vanquishing potion. And Phoebe realizes that attention is off of her for about 10 seconds. So she's like, oh, I'm in so much pain. I feel the fear and anxiety of everyone in town right now about the dragon. Damn it, Phoebe!
Piper picks up Wyatt, and she's like, hey, can you take us to your friend? And Wyatt orbs them to a post-apocalypse.
I
100% do not believe no one has been killed at this point.
It's a little over the top. It looks like the wasteland that Buffy walks through when she comes back from the dead, and it makes her think that she's in hell.
Yeah, or where Ready Player One takes place.
Yeah, there you go. Except everything's also on fire. In Ready Player One, it's all just in disrepair. So they find the dragon. Paige orbs a scale off of it, which of course hurts, so it freaks out. And then of course, the dragon starts thrashing about and screaming and flying, and Phoebe helpfully is like, I think it's mad. I feel its anger.
God. Wyatt thinks it's hilarious, though.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, babies are all sociopaths. Because they really are. They haven't developed morality yet, so he's just like, haha, it's funny.
So, Piper hands Wyatt to Phoebe, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna take a little bit of a gamble here. She runs up to the dragon and she's like, hey, Wyatt, if you don't want mom to die, you need to get rid of the dragon. And the dragon's about to attack Piper, and Wyatt kills it with his magical powers.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I definitely don't want Piper to die. So he kills the dragon and...
I have one parent left.
Right.
I do not want to be left alone with Phoebe.
Every time I cry, instead of getting me a bottle, she just starts crying. But now that that is solved, everything's okay. Except for all of the destruction of the entirety of San Francisco.
They got rid of the dragon. What more do you want from them?
Right? I mean, honestly, the cleaners have a point here. Because they're like, yeah, they're going to be like, yeah, you got rid of the dragon. But, hello?
A dragon still destroyed a large chunk of San Francisco. Which the cleaners blurp in and they do. They're like, okay, we're going to get rid of your baby. We're going to get rid of Wyatt because you did not... You stopped the dragon, but magic still got exposed. And this is where we came in.
Right. Now they orb back to the manor and then... Yes, this is the first moment we saw in the episode. We have caught up to the middle of things.
Yeah, the cleaners blurp in. They take Wyatt. Piper tries to blow them up but fails. They wipe all of, you know, the evidence of Wyatt's existence out of their minds, and they blurp away. Except this time, everyone remembers. Because, I guess, magic?
Because they cast the spell. Instead of the spell just making them remember everything, it forced them to live through everything so that they would have the memory. Yeah.
So...
That spell was a jerk. You know, I was like, the spell was like, I know what Paige wants, I'm just going to do it. But that spell was a jerk. That spell could have given them the memory at this moment and not made them go through everything again.
We could have just done, whatever. So they're trying to figure out how to get Wyatt back.
I mean, I guess it's a better storytelling technique to do it like this so that we can experience the story, but
yes,
still.
So they're trying all of their witch stuff to figure out how to, you know...
Stop the cleaners.
And get Wyatt back. But there's, you know,
Yeah, there's nothing about them in the Book of Shadows which Phoebe's looking through.
Well, there's no way to defeat them in the Book of Shadows.
Paige can't scry for them because they don't exist on this plane, and looking sadly out the window isn't getting Piper any revelations.
So, well, it has one where she's like, okay, we can't kill them, but we can make their jobs really, really annoying until we get what we want.
Piper's like, before I realized that my strength was being a mother, but now I have to tap into my true strength, being a problem for everyone else. Is that not what it means to be a charmed one? To make it everyone else's problem.
I'm going to speak to reality's manager.
So that's what they do. They teleport, they orb, into a TV station where Weatherman's giving a report. And they're like, hey, guess what? Magic's real. And
Phoebe, honestly, I think this is the best her levitation ever looks.
Yeah.
She grabs the news guy and she, you know, flies him up in the air. And Paige is like, hey, anchor lady, I like your top. Top! And she orbs it into her hands.
It's just the jacket, though.
Yeah.
Can somebody give that that cameraman some sort of local TV award? Because yeah. He stays right on them as she flies up into the air with the weatherman.
Yeah, he's panning. And then they cut to Piper, which I guess you could just cut to whoever.
Yeah, Piper's on the news now, and she makes the Golden Gate Bridge disappear.
Yeah, okay, so there are two options here. Both bad, one way worse. She does the, the standard vanishing spell.
Right, the make the object of objection
become but a dream as I cause the scene to become a scene.
There you go.
If she has made the bridge invisible, that is bad. If she has made it gone, then all of the people who are on it are dead. Which, the spell does not work consistently. We were given to understand that Piper killed Phoebe when she did it on the house in the episode where she got obsessed with cleaning because of a fear demon who wasn't Barbas or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it was a Barbas episode.
Yep.
Anyway, either way. So Piper may or may not have just killed a whole bunch of people.
The cleaners will bring him back.
It's fine.
I mean, the real problem is that we find out later that Elderland is on top of the Golden Gate Bridge. So the real problem is she wiped out all the elders.
Oh, no.
Oh.
But yeah, the cleaners blorp, you know, over to them, and they were like, what the fuck are you doing?
They're like, we're making your job terrible for the next 50 years. You can't erase us because we're the charmed ones, and if you erase us, that'll throw off the balance between good and evil. I'm not sure that tracks, but okay.
Well, this is the start of this weird thing where the sisters assume they're too important for anything bad to happen to them.
We're too big to fail.
Yes. They're like, look, you were given your powers by good and evil. You need to remain neutral, and destroying the charmed ones is an unneutral act and would also bring back the source of all evil and, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff.
So the cleaners are like, fine, fuck it. They're not worth it, which is what they were going for. So good job, sisters.
As they're about to blorp away, Phoebe's like, can you undo what I did at the office? And they're like, oh, Phoebe, of course we can.
They do. And this is such a little thing to like be annoyed at.
Yeah.
But the Band-Aid on Phoebe's head should have disappeared when they erased that.
Huh. Yeah, it should have.
And it would have been, like, in this episode that has already spent a lot on special effects. Like you said, Phoebe's levitation is better than it ever is. We get a lot of really close-up shots of the dragon looking better than I would ever expect it to look on Charmed.
I mean, early 2000 CG, they did a good job with what they had.
And for a television show budget. But yet, you couldn't do the special effect of having Phoebe's Band-Aid disappear to show that the riot was really erased?
Yeah. Paige still needs to resolve her plot, though, which was not helping sexual harassment lady.
Although first we get an establishing shot of San Francisco, which is normally not worth mentioning, except that I feel like it was specifically showing us it's okay, the Golden Gate Bridge is back.
Yes.
So, okay. We see the woman who is being sexually harassed in the boss's office, and she's like, please don't fire me, I need this job.
And he's like, I won't fire you if you have sex with me. And she's like, okay, just kidding, lamp. And she orbs the lamp into his face. Like, she hits him with a lamp through orbing.
And then we see that this is page in disguise. I don't really understand the thought process here.
How did this resolve? You disguised yourself as this woman, then physically attacked this man with magic. And then you're like, problem solved.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, she does turn back into Paige in front of him. Like, did we not just learn a whole thing about exposing magic? I feel like the whole thing here is that he has been attacked by his secretary, by the temp receptionist. So now he's like, oh, I better not be a dick anymore or witches might attack me. Didn't we just learn about not exposing magic? And Paige's solution is to expose magic?
Well, when the woman comes into the room, she's like, did you physically attack him? And she's like, I overheard him talking about how he wanted to have sex with you in exchange for your job. He's lucky if you don't sue. Wink. And I'm like, what? How does that track? She walked in on you standing over his unconscious body with a broken, I think it was actually a potted plant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that resolved anything, Paige.
But you didn't do anything. My work here is done. Oh, and also she does do a little, like, this is why I was sent to this job. Because we talked about last week how the temp job is supposed to, like, send her on all of these missions to help people.
Also, we get a little bit with Chris and Leo where Chris is like, hey, Leo, I think I should only work with the sisters because that's the whole reason I came back in time. And Leo's like, you've changed my mind, young man. Protect my ex-wife and child.
Okay. I'm sorry. Just going back to Paige for just like a quick second.
Yeah.
I kind of want a TV show that's like the world's worst magical girl where she gets sent to, where she gets sent out from a temp agency to all these different places to help people. But her help is always like the most terrible thing and just makes everything worse. And then she just skips off into the sunset like, well, my work here is done.
Yeah. Yeah. So Piper has her baby back and she's happy about that. The end.
So that was Forget Me, not...
It's not a terrible episode. It's just not fun bad. It's just kind of boring.
Well, I mean, I think my problem with the episode is the very concept.
It's too late to introduce the cleaners as a thing. We are 6 seasons into this show at this point.
Yeah.
Like, and spoiler alert, they basically don't do anything for the rest of the show. They get mentioned a few more times. I think maybe they show up once or twice. I feel like
there's one more time they show up.
But, like, they don't really do much.
But fret not, next time we're talking about the power of 3 blondes.
Yay!
The peacock description, 3 evil sisters steal the charmed one's identities and powers.
They're blonde. Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm ready for this.
Me too. But before we do that, let's get into our segments.
Yes, much like the Charmed Ones, we have our own power of 3. The first power in our pack is Premonition. Who in this episode is, was, or will become famous? I didn't have anyone.
Yeah, no in this episode. I even checked in some of the guest stars, and they're all, like, utility players who are on, you know,
yeah,
one episode of every procedural, but no, nobody's striking.
We got a big one next week. It's
fine. Oh, yes, we do.
The second power in our pack is Time Freeze. What specifically dated this episode?
Did you have one?
Not really. Did you?
I do have one because I actually did work for a temp agency the summer between high school and college. And being sent to be a temp receptionist was absolutely a thing that happened in the early 2000s. But now, like, with the economy and with the way corporations cut their budgets and stuff, nobody is hiring a temp to be a receptionist. They're just making the least senior person cover the phones.
Yeah.
In fact, I work in a lot of offices, like offices for Fortune 500 companies, where we don't even have a receptionist. So, yeah, that's my weird time freeze.
That will bring us to the third power in our pack. Telekinesis, what if anything genuinely moved you? Nothing.
Okay, well, so there wasn't like a scene where I was crying or anything. Like on our Farscape podcast, I could barely record the end of it because the scene was making me cry that much, which was also a mother-son scene.
Yes.
So there was no scene that hit me, but the whole concept of making you forget your child was deeply upsetting to me.
Yeah. And you know what? I joked, but it was nice that it just ended with Piper holding Wyatt. Like, it was a nice, quiet moment. It was just her rocking him in a chair. It was nice.
Yeah. It's like, okay, everything is fine now.
Yes.
I do have a secret power, which we've already kind of talked about.
Ooh. Which one?
Molecular combustion.
Oh, yeah. Continuity. God, where were these guys at any point in the show up to this point?
Right? Oh, exposing magic is bad. Whatever, Charmed.
Prue could use a ghost to get a murder guy to... I mean, I guess that's not... I don't know. It feels like there are a lot of times when these dudes should have stepped in.
I mean, we already pointed it out.
Yeah.
They let Phoebe get burned as a witch! I don't feel like you could expose magic much more than that. Also, if, like, the cleaners exist, then where were they hundreds of years ago when witchcraft was accepted and persecuted? Like...
Yeah, like...
It's...
They don't work.
Whatever.
All right, so that should about do it.
That will do it for this week. Our show is partially listener-supported. If you want to be one of those supporters, you should head over to our website, www.welcometotelevision.net, and click on our Patreon link. We'd like to thank our current $5 and above patrons, Beryl, Patricia, Rosa, Ryan, Maricruz, Benjamin, Kate, Jen, Dan, Anthony, and Daniel.
If you'd like to support the show in other ways, you could always rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show.
If you want to talk about this episode, or any episode, of any television show, you can contact us at ilovetelevisionzines@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at ilovetvzines, or you can find us on Blue Sky at Welcome to Television.
So until next time, I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And this has been Welcome to the Hallwell Manor.